July 8th. We have begun our journey through the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The record in these books parallels that in Samuel and Kings. The focus here is on David and the kingdom of Judah, and the viewpoint is that of the priests. The opening genealogy takes you from Adam to Saul, and that is quite a journey. And that's followed by an account of David's reign. 2 Chronicles, as we get into that later on, opens with the reign of Solomon, and then describes the kings of Judah, from the division of the kingdom to the captivity. This is going to give us some deep insight into the people of God in the olden days. These books were important to the Jews, who returned to the land after captivity. The genealogy established their tribal connections, something especially significant to the priests. The people needed David's example of godliness, and the emphasis on the temple was needed at a time when it had to be rebuilt. Well, the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles encourage people seeking to rebuild in a time of change and difficulty. And if you're going through such a process, then the narration of these books will be an encouragement to you. So as we listen to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you'll want to note the cross-reference to Samuel and Kings and compare some of these complementary passages. Well, let's continue now in our journey through the book of 1 Chronicles and continue our reading in the Old Testament. July 8th, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 18 through chapter 6, verse 81. There were 44,760 skilled warriors in the armies of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were all skilled in combat and armed with shields, swords, and bows. They waged war against the Hagrites, the Jeturites, and the Naphishites, and the Nodabites. They cried out to God during the battle, and he answered their prayer because they trusted in him. So the Hagrites and all their allies were defeated. The plunder taken from the Hagrites included 50,000 camels, 250,000 sheep, 2,000 donkeys, and 100,000 captives. Many of the Hagrites were killed in the battle because God was fighting against them. So they lived in their land until they were taken away into exile. The half-tribe of Manasseh was very large and spread through the land from Bashan to Bel Hermon, Senir, and Mount Hermon. These were the leaders of their clans: Epher, Izhai, Eliel, Azrael, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jadiel. These men had a great reputation as mighty warriors and leaders of their clans. But these tribes were unfaithful to the God of their ancestors. They worshipped the gods of the nations that God had destroyed. So the God of Israel caused King Pul of Assyria, also known as Tiglath-Pileser, to invade the land and take away the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh as captives. The Assyrians exiled them to Halah, Habor, Hara, and the Gozan River, where they remain to this day. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The descendants of Kohath included Amram, Izhar, Ebron, and Uziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar was the father of Phinehas. Phinehas was the father of Abishua. Abishua was the father of Bukai. Bukai was the father of Uzai. Uzai was the father of Zerahiah. Zerahiah was the father of Meraioth. Meraioth was the father of Amariah. Amariah was the father of Ahutub. Ahutub was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Johanan. Johanan was the father of Azariah, the high priest at the temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem. Azariah was the father of Amariah. Amariah was the father of Ahitub. Ahitub was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Shallum. Shallum was the father of Hilkiah. Hilkiah was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Sarariah. Sarariah was the father of Jehozadak, who went into exile when the Lord sent the people of Judah and Jerusalem into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Gershon included Libni and Shimei. The descendants of Kohath included Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The descendants of Merari included Mahlai and Mushai. The following were the Levite clans, listed according to their ancestral descent. The descendants of Gershon, including Libni, Jahath, Zimah, Joah, Edo, Zerah, and Jeotharai. The descendants of Kohath included Aminadab, Korah, Azur, Elkanah, Abiasaph, Aser, Tahath, Uriel, Uzziah, and Shaul. The descendants of Elkanah included Amasah, Ahimoth, Elkanah, Zophai, Nahath, Eliab, Jeroham, Elkanah, and Samuel. The sons of Samuel were Joel the older and Abijah the second. The descendants of Merari included Mahli, Libni, Shimei, Uzzah, Shemaiah, Haggiah, and Azariah. David assigned the following men to lead the music at the house of the Lord after the ark was placed there. They ministered with music at the tabernacle until Solomon built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They carried out their work, following all the regulations handed down to them. These are the men who served, along with their sons. Heman, the musician, was from the clan of Kohath. His genealogy was traced back through Joel, Samuel, Elkanah, Jeroham, Eliel, Toa, Zuth, Elkanah, Mahath, Amazai, Elkanah, Joel, Azariah, Zephaniah, Tahath, Azur, Abiasaph, Korah, Izhar, Kohath, Levi, and Israel. Heman's first assistant was Asaph, from the clan of Gershon. Asaph's genealogy was traced back through Berechiah, Shemaiah, Michael, Bahaziah, Malchijah, Ethni, Zerah, Adaiah, Ethan, Zimah, Shimei, Jahath, Gershon, and Levi. Heman's second assistant was Ethan from the clan of Merari. Ethan's genealogy was traced back through Kishai, Abdi, Maluk, Hashabiah, Amaziah, Hilkiah, Amzi, Benai, Shemer, Mahalai, Mushai, Merari, and Levi. Their fellow Levites were appointed to various other tasks in the tabernacle, the house of God. Only Aaron and his descendants served as priests. They presented the offerings on the altar of burnt offering and the altar of incense, and they performed all the other duties related to the most holy place. They made atonement for Israel by doing everything that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded them. The descendants of Aaron were Eleazar, Phinehas, Abishua, Bukai, Uzai, Zerahiah, Merioth, Amariah, Ahitob, Zadok, and Ahimaaz. This is a record of the towns and territory assigned by means of sacred lots to the descendants of Aaron, who were from the clan of Kohath. This territory included Hebron and its surrounding pasture lands in Judah, but the fields and outlying areas belonging to the city were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So the descendants of Aaron were given the following towns, each with its pasture lands: Hebron, a city of refuge, Libna, Jatir, Eshtemoa, Holon, Debir, Ain, Juta, and Beth Shemesh. And from the territory of Benjamin, they were given Gibeon, Geba, Alameth, and Anathoth, each with its pasture lands. So a total of 13 towns was given to the descendants of Aaron. The remaining descendants of Kohath received 10 towns from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh by means of sacred lots. The descendants of Gershon received by sacred lots 13 towns from the territories of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and from the Bashan area of Manasseh, east of the Jordan. The descendants of Merari received by sacred lots 12 towns from the territories of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the people of Israel assigned all these towns and pasture lands to the Levites. The towns and the territories of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin, mentioned above, were also assigned by means of sacred lots. The descendants of Kohath received from the territory of Ephraim these towns, each with its surrounding pasture lands. Shechem, a city of refuge in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer, Jokmeam, Beth-horon, Ajalon, and Gath-rimmon. The remaining descendants of Kohath were assigned these towns from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Anir and Bileam, each with its pasture lands. The descendants of Gershon received from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh the town of Golan in Bashan with its pasture lands and Ashtaroth with its pasture lands. From the territory of Issachar, they were given Kedesh, Daberath, Ramoth, and Anim with their pasture lands. From the territory of Asher, they received Majel, Abdon, Hukak, and Rehob, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Naphtali, they were given Kedesh in Galilee, Hamon, and Kiriathaim, each with its pasture lands. The remaining descendants of Merari received from the territory of Zebulun the towns of Jokneam, Karta, Remono, and Tabor, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Reuben, east of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho, they received Bezer, a desert town, Jehaz, Kedemoth, and Mephahath, each with its pasture lands. And from the territory of Gad, they received Ramoth and Gilead, Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jazer, each with its pasture lands. And as we look into the New Testament for today's reading, we'll be narrating from the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 1 through 32, where Paul saw the light. Instead of defending himself, Paul used the opportunity to present the gospel to King Agrippa and others with him. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he made some important and life-changing discoveries. His religion was out of date. His zeal for God was only hurting God. Jesus was alive, and Jesus had a job for Paul to do. Boy, you talk about a rude awakening. And then we'll see that Agrippa rejects the light. He turned his back on the light. He was, almost when he might have been altogether. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Almost persuaded to be a Christian is like the man who was almost pardoned, but he was hanged. Or like the man who was almost rescued, but he was burned in the house." See, a man that is almost saved is damned. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. July 8th, the New Testament. Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 32. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, this is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. One day, I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven brighter than the sun shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will." "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people, who are set apart by faith in me." And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you're insane. Too much study has made you crazy." But Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth. And King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. As they went out, they talked it over and agreed, "This man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "He could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar." Today's reading in the book of Psalm comes from Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. This psalm grew out of an experience of sickness and pain when David thought he was going to die. Besides that, he had to put up with the attacks of his enemies who wanted him to die. It was a time of deep discouragement for David, but he did not waver in his faith. David reminded God of his tears of repentance and confession. His bed should have been a place of rest, but it had become a place of trial as God chastened him. But there is a happy ending. David was assured and his enemies were ashamed. God heard and answered his prayers. When the night is dark and long, keep on trusting, and the dawn will come in God's good time. Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, for the choir director, a psalm of David, to be accompanied by an 8-stringed instrument. O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your rage. Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. For the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies.
Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences.